Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Age behind the glass. Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brian's off again.
No way.
He's off. He's used all his PTO in the first 8 months of the year.
I think he's like getting a loan for more.
Yeah, it's crazy how much he's off, that Brian
McDonald. And he hasn't been here that much. He hasn't been here longer than us.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that's the case. Yeah, he's off work. That's okay. We got Age today. A lot of the Twitchers prefer Age over Brian, if we're being truthful. So there is that.
Yep.
And there's a lot to get to today. Houston Texans played an NFL football game over the weekend. If we're calling preseason games NFL football games, they played an NFL football game over the weekend. They lost said game. Not that that matters. We'll discuss that in great detail a little bit later. A lot of Astro stuff today. Today is the return of Carlos Correa. He's going to be talking to the media in a little while. So if he says anything pertinent, like, what's he going to say, though? Hey, I'm happy to be home. Thanks, Los.
He already gave it away after the game yesterday, the most pertinent thing, right? Where he said Daniela and the kids have been back and that everybody stops them and they just feel all the wave of emotion and that he can't wait to feel some of it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, if that's pertinent, he's happy to be home. He's back home. Houston is his home. He's here. He's an Astro for the foreseeable future. But it's cool that he's going to be back. Alex Bregman, so you have some drama there. I am curious to see the ovation of Alex Bregman. I think he's going to be cheered. Will there be a moment that he gets booed in this series?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You don't?
Nah, I really don't.
I think he might. I think there might be an at-bat later in the series or something like that where fans go, okay, we did our service to him, but now we might just decide that he's still an enemy with the Red Sox. I think that from the standpoint of everybody kind of, they're losing in the shuffle the fact that this is Javier tonight. I think that, yeah, of course, Bregman's first game back. Correa's already played for you, and he's playing well. So it's for him more than I think from the media that didn't travel to the road trip. But I think the big thing, too, is that Javier's pitching tonight, and that could be a big key for this team.
That's definitely the C story tonight, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's on the undercard. I mean, it matters, and it's really, really cool. And any other night, it would be the main event. But today, it's the third most important thing. Mm-hmm. Correa, the headliner. The sub-headliners, Alex Bregman's return, and then I think a distant third is Javier back on the mound. Plus, maybe it's my expectations of Christian Javier. Like, he hadn't been great in these rehab assignments. Mm-mm. He's going up against a good offense that's stealing signs every chance they get. He's going up against Garrett Crochet, who's really, really good. I don't have high expectations. I think the most important thing for Christian Javier tonight is that he gets out of it looking okay and not hurt. Like, that to me is – that's my expectation. That's my hope and desire.
Yeah, I think that once you saw what Eric Gedde wasn't able to do in his first start back, that you can't help but have tempered expectations. And like you said, whether you just think that guys are doing rehab starts to, you know, perfect their craft and they're not worried about giving up runs or hits or not, it would be nice to see, like, Garcia's last outing. He really was dealing, and that's what you'd like to see against AAA hitters. And so my expectations are tempered. Like you said, the matchup is heavily favored for them. And the fact that coming off what Eric Gedde did and the fact that I don't think he's going to be the old Christian Javier, at least not right away, it's tough to get, you know, excited about him starting.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped that he's back. I just don't have lofty expectations for him today. I think he has to ramp up to it. Now, hopefully he just shuts me up. Branham foot and mouth, and you look like an idiot. You look like a buffoon, Branham. He goes 6 shutout innings, giving up 1 hit, punching out a dozen. Okay, that'd be awesome. That'd be great. We'll talk a lot of Astros today. What caught your eye around the NFL preseason week number 1? Not bad from Shedeur Sanders. Yeah. Not awful from Shedeur Sanders. We'll kick that around a little bit later. And then a listener the other day wanted us to do the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and we do. what the people tell us to do. So bottom 10 quarterbacks, the what do we call the other one? We call the killer QBs. This would be like the not-so-killer QBs in the NFL. And then also college football. College football right around the corner. We'll start kicking around that a little bit too. First AP poll out of the year out today, which I think shows the respect that the Big 12, the second best football conference in the country, deserves. But Texas, number one for the first time in ever in history, that Texas is number one in the AP, which is kind of surprising.
Right about now, Brian would be hitting you with that drop.
I know. That's why I said it, because he's not here.
Yeah, it's always good to roll. At least we can appreciate that it's not something he played. No, look, I mean, Ohio State, their quarterback play is going to be interesting. I think we know how important quarterback play is. And Nussmeier at LSU, and now he's hurt. And some people thought his season might have been in jeopardy with a knee injury. Other people saying it wasn't any big deal. But, you know, they'll go as far as him at quarterback will take them. And I think that with Manning at Texas, it's the sexy pick right now.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. Right around the corner, we'll be hot and heavy college football over the coming days. But as we always do on Monday, good, bad, and the ugly from the Houston Astros series. 2 of 3 in the Bronx. Good. I mean, you take 2 of 3 in New York. It could have been a sweep, but take 2 of 3 in New York, it's a good thing. And when they win series, we start with the good. So what stood out to you, Blankers, on the good side?
Well, I mean, I think the individual stuff is pretty easy. I think the first thing, too, aside from just the individuals, is the fact that the last time we did this on a Monday, the offense was horrible, and they couldn't find a way to score runs. And, yeah, they left a lot of runners on base, even with everything that they did. But they scored 17 runs in the series. In a three-game series, to put 17 runs up, and you're facing at least Freed, so you know that he's a damn good pitcher. The fact is that they were able to put runs and crooked numbers up and get, you know, the offensive support that the pitching staff needed. And so the fact that the offense was able to put up 17 runs was on my list of goods. Individually, you know, of course, the summer of George, Alexander was fantastic. But Altuve and Correa, I mean, the two guys hated most by Yankees fans, just continue to do it to the Yankees. And Correa has been outstanding since he's been back with the Astros.
Yeah, item by item, Jason Alexander. Do you believe in Alexander yet?
I believe in him for now. You know, when we're trying to sit there and say, okay, all things being considered, if all hands are on deck and the guys coming back look pretty good, does he factor in? I still probably have him on the outside looking in, but I can't help but tip my cap and say the last two starts, he has every reason to make an argument that he could be in that mix, because the changeup has been fantastic, his control has been good, and he was dealing yesterday.
Costanza or Colton Gordon?
Costanza.
They sent down Colton Gordon minutes ago to make room for Christian Javier, which was the obvious move. And we saw Gordon warming up in the bullpen yesterday, so it's like, okay, that's what we need to know. But Costanza's numbers as an Astro are insane. He made his 5th start yesterday, 6th appearance, has one, you know, out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. In those 5 starts, 6 appearances, 31 2/3. He's 3-1 with a 2.56 ERA. It's Brandon Walter conversation. I like Walter's stuff a little bit more, but Alexander's numbers rival Brandon Walter's numbers. The FIP, which people always look at the FIP, is relatively low, 3.74, which I think the FIP's a little bit overrated. The WHIP's a little high, 1.2, but you know, I think he can get over that because sometimes he's walking more guys than he should. Gives up a little bit of contact. I believe in Jason Alexander to the extent of a back end of the rotation starting pitcher on a playoff caliber team. I have no problem if he's the number 5 for the Houston Astros.
I was going to ask you that. You hit it on already, but Costanza or Walter?
Walter.
Yeah, I think me too. You know what? He's been, like I said, you gave the numbers. I think the one really bad game was his second game against the team formerly known as the Oakland A's, the Athletics. But other than that, I mean, the way he's pitched, especially lately, has given you every reason to say he warrants a discussion of being one of those 5 or 6. I just think I think his fastball's better. I think his secondary pitches, aside from his, you know, to the changeup for Costanza, I think that I would go Walter, but it's the gap is closing.
Yeah, and that's something that has to, that's going to be, we'll cross that bridge when you get there. Mm-hmm. Like, Walter's not even pitching in rehab games yet. So, like, that's a month away, at minimum, probably. The one that's going to be down the pike, the next starter that returns is Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm. So the question that's relevant, I guess, in terms of, like, the timeline would be George Costanza or Luis Garcia.
See, the thing to me is I'm so uneasy about it, particularly the first start of every one of these guys coming back, because they're not even close to completely stretched out, no matter how much they've been doing what they've been doing. And it's a work in progress. And like I said, seeing what Arigetti did when he came back, I have the same expectations for just about every guy in their first game back, because they're still working on things and they're still trying to get completely strong and stretched out. So right now, I would say that Alexander has the nod over Garcia. Mm-hmm. And then you have to wonder, because it's such a tight race in the division and every win is so much more important right now with how it sits in the American League, that the window should normally be like, you know, 3 or 4 starts from these guys to see who they truly are. But I don't know if you had that much time.
Like in 4 days when Alexander's fully rested, if my life were on the line and I could pick Jason Alexander or Luis Garcia to start that game, I'd probably go Alexander. But I think that they're going to give Luis Garcia the runway because the potential's higher, the ceiling's higher. Like, I mean, Costanza's this great story, 32 years old, like has found something because the Astros get the most out of pitchers. But Garcia has the higher upside of the two. I think they'll give Garcia the runway instead of Costanza, but Costanza still has another 2 weeks, which could be, you know, 2 or 3 more starts to continue to prove his worth. But what he did yesterday was sensational. Rubber game of a series, going up against the lineup that's pretty good, and go 6 shutout innings, didn't give up a hit until late in that game. And it seems like every time the Astros have a big game, whether it's to end a skid, whether it's a rubber game, Costanza is on the mound, and the summer of George just continues to roll on, which is unbelievable.
The one hit is something. The fact that, you know, like you said, it was a pretty formidable lineup offensively, and yeah, he had 3 walks, but the fact that he goes 6 innings and only gives up 1 knock and no runs when, you know, you're going up against a big, big-time pitcher in Max Fried, and the Yankees are desperate for every win, too. I mean, that says a lot for a guy, because the back-to-back starts against the Athletics are one thing, but the fact that you're facing a team that's desperate, that has good hitters, and you did that, it's definitely, you know, eye-opening.
Pretty crazy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Good, bad, and ugly from the Astros weekend. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham there. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Will the fans in New York ever stop booing Jose Altuve? How about the dominance Jose Altuve continues to have in the Bronx? That was fun to see. We'll kick it around next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Carlos Correa said the best part of returning to Houston is he gets to play with Jose Altuve every day.
Those two guys are like Peaches and Herb.
Peaches and Herb?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
that. Reunited and It Feels So Good?
Heard that one.
Yeah, well, that's who sings it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, you know, they were...
If you have to explain the joke.
It's okay. I mean, peanut butter and jelly.
That's good. Yeah.
They belong together. And the fact that they've been reunited, and no one thought once he left that there would be that opportunity. And, I mean, we kind of talked about it. Like, we don't know how long this is going to last, but you kind of felt like he was going to get rejuvenated and an extra spark, because not only is he going someplace where he has a chance to win, but it's Houston.
Yeah. The Lance McCullers going to be very mad that Carlos Correa said that he said, "Oh, it's great to play with Altuve again." Lance going to get his feelings hurt, because Lance and Carlos are really tight.
Well, even if they are, I mean, you'd have to play together to be able to look forward to it again.
Lance is on the team.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
He's on the team. The Astros released their injury updates. They do this every Monday. Mm-hmm. Lance McCullers continuing his throwing progression this week. Right finger blister. Other than that, everything's about the norm. Dubin's going to work out with the major league team today at Daikin, which it is. Like, what do you do whenever you call up Dubin? Like, this little De Los Santos guy? Like, you're going to have to DFA him? Because, like, none of these guys have options.
Yeah.
Unless it's Alexander, which you think you would have done that today. One, you don't think you're going to do that. Two, if you were going to do it, you would have done it today because he pitched yesterday. I don't know, man. Like, they're going to have a roster crunch.
Yeah, and it's not going away with the other guys they're trying to bring back. But it'll be interesting. You know, some guys clear and then they want to go back to Sugar Land, which is great. But if you're out of options, I mean, there's plenty of teams in baseball that are watching what these guys are doing too, going, "I dare you. We'll pick him up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they signed De Los Santos to a major league contract, too. So that's going to be interesting if Dubin's up in the next day or two. Brandon Walter threw a 20-pitch side yesterday at the Astros Complex in Florida. That's good.
Okay.
Left elbow inflammation. Inflammation better than soreness? Or is it worse than soreness? Where does inflammation and soreness stack up on the Astro medical report pecking order?
I would think that inflammation has to be worse than soreness. Just because of the fact that if you're sore, it could be because you're throwing. Inflammation, I would think that that's something where internally you got to figure out where it's coming from and the why.
Yeah.
It might be more severe.
See, I was going to say soreness over inflammation, but I really have no rhyme or reason. I've been inflamed for like 3 years, so there is that. Isak Paredes is traveling to Florida this week to continue his rehab, so Isak joining Yordan Alvarez at La Playa. So that's good. I mean, we'll see what happens with Isak, but going to Florida is a step in the right direction, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I have zero expectations for that, and I don't know if this PRP treatment stuff is going to be the end-all, be-all to getting back on the field, and even if he comes back to the field, at what level will he be? It's a nice option if you can get it. But for the big picture, I'm not, for the rest of the season, I'm not counting on him.
Yordan's going through a hitting progression at the Astros Complex in Florida. Hit on field BP for the first time on Saturday. So, do we see Yordan Alvarez again this year? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. Somebody asked me that yesterday. I think that they do.
When you say BP though, it's still not live pitchers, right? It's still just a
coach BP, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Texter says DFA Neris. That's in play, actually. That's a good call, Texter. You might be right on that. That might be the answer.
Yeah, he was never long-term anyway, so that's probably definitely top of the list of what they could do.
Okay, so Neris when Dubin comes back, mm-hmm. and then what do you do when Garcia comes back? Who's the next guy? De Los Santos at that point? Or
yeah.
Maybe you have another injury by that time. Who knows? Texter says, do you think Yankee fans ever stop booing? Will they learn? It just fuels him. Yankee fans aren't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
No, they're not. And it's so much fun. The fact that they're so arrogant and always so cocky about everything. The fact that, you know, now they're starting to think about maybe we should start sending out tweets to just compliment our daddy. Because, I mean, everything you saw today, there were people superimposing instead of where it says Yankee Stadium on the field. It was Altuve Stadium and, you know, acknowledge your daddy again. Because you just love that he goes about his business in such a soft-spoken, quiet way. And the every situation, whether it's Boston or Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium, we just see it happen over and over again. You do what you do, and he does what he's always going to do.
Dre says that Altuve was inducted into the Yankees Monument Park last night. That's a good call. He just put him right there next to the bust of Ruth and Gehrig. If starters come back and produce, then I like Alexander, his long relief, his stuff, his change of pace. That's probably an ideal role for him. Because he doesn't have the ceiling of some of the other starters. You put him in that long relief spot. You can just, you know, pitch him until his arm falls off. Like old, who was it? Who'd the Astros have that went to Notre Dame that pitched?
Oh, my God, and he went to the A's.
Yeah, and Chandler Rome was like, oh, they're abusing his arm. Bro, that's the only reason he's pitching in Major League Baseball. It's because they can abuse his arm. I forget that guy's name.
I can picture him, too. Blondish hair.
I can't remember his name. But I remember Chandler Rome would throw a fit.
Brandon Belak.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, they threw him 150 pitches this week. Cool. That's his job. His job is to eat up innings. Because if he didn't do that, he wouldn't have a job. And he's currently not employed by Major League Baseball.
Yep.
I always remember that. But I think that's a good role for Alexander. Ocho says what made me so nervous about Costanza's outing was he only used two pitches for the most part. Somehow kept the Yankees off balance with a hanging sinker and a changeup. By contrast, my guy Brandon Walter mixes in four or five pitches, which is more likely to keep opponents off balance. Yeah, I mean, we're all in agreement that Walter's the better pitcher than Costanza. Mm-hmm. But Costanza's proving his worth of being a back end of the rotation, long reliever type of guy, even for this team, even for a really good team. Texter, I have zero faith Javier is going to be able to produce like he needs to this season. Next season, different story, but he looks like he's not ready. Yeah, some of the rehab start numbers aren't great. He was getting swing and miss, though. He was getting strikeouts. So there, at least there was that.
Yeah, he has to be deceptive. We know that he's not great about pounding the strike zone. But, you know, whether it's that rising fastball and all the names they have for it, or the fact that at least it's a competitive pitch coming out of his hand to get people to chase, that, yeah, the numbers in his rehab starts haven't been great, but the key is going to be he's not like an overpowering velocity guy. It's just movement and it's location, and hopefully that he has some of that to show that he's going to get better with each start coming down the stretch here.
Mm-hmm. Texture, we do the same crap with Adolis Garcia. He's mediocre at best, but has great numbers when he plays up because he feeds off the booze. That's fair. Now Altuve has great numbers against everybody.
I was just gonna
say, just the Yankees. That's a fair point about Adolis, though. Texture, it's baseball. The New Yorkers don't know what ball is. Good point. Texture's asking about Jake Meyers. The update on the notes, according to Brian McTaggart, who copy and pasted it from the game notes, says that Meyers will work out in Houston today and will travel to Florida tonight to continue his rehab. I overlooked the Meyers. That's good news, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time they put up updates on everybody in the notes that somehow he got it omitted over the first time. But overall, that's a guy that seems to be completely forgotten about. Everybody's talking about all the pitching and Yordan. And maybe Paredes now because of the PRP treatments. But, yeah, you would really like to have Jake Meyers back. And for me, for one, to be able to say that, that means he's had a hell of a season, and he would be a boost in center field.
You think that people have omitted him, overlooked
him? I think people forget about him a little bit.
I haven't gotten that feel.
Yeah, I've got friends and people that I converse with about it that kind of, you know, he's not even close to top of mind. And then when I mention it, they're like, oh, that's right. Jake still has to come back too. I'm like, I mean – he was having a hell of a year before he got hurt.
Do these friends of yours know ball?
I have no friends that know ball, Jeremy.
Well, I mean, you said you talked to your friends about it. I was making sure
they know ball.
Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe they are looking over. I mean, between the three, Yordan, Isak, Meyers. I mean, with your current roster construct, Meyers might be more important than Isak.
Yeah. I mean, if he gives you anything offensively like he was giving you, because the average was up, because of the fact that he was pretty consistent, that he's better than anything else you can put in center field, any other player.
Yeah. No, I mean, Isak, you're kind of running out of positions, too. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like,
it's a full house on the infield.
Lance McCullers' worst blister in the history of the game. Those blisters are tough, man.
And people
are tough.
And I get it. People are making light of it. And how long can you be out possibly with a blister? But at the same time, you really don't want him back. So as long as the blister can continue to flare up, you're in a good position, because otherwise you might have a tough decision that we talked about.
It's like Bull Durham. I can get you a Reyna. I can get you a blister on that right index finger. If the Yankees started Tartable yesterday, Costanza would have been screwed. I see what you did there. I liked it. Did you hear TK shrinkage reference?
No.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
He goes, there was no shrinkage with Jason Alexander today.
That's a good call.
Which... borderline for TK. 2K is not usually that risky.
No, he doesn't push the envelope. But then how about Julia in the postgame show when she goes through like five questions with him and then goes, okay, all right. What do you mean, okay, all right, you got to? I mean, don't bury the lead. Aside from how well he pitched, that should have been the second or third question.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, come on. The setting and everything about New York and how fitting it was.
No, second or third, you just dominated the Yankees. I thought it was an appropriate order.
I don't think
order.
You can leave it to the very end and then say, I have to. I think people, that was one of the questions everybody was
she
waiting for.
She didn't want to insult him.
That's not insulting.
He doesn't like it.
Who says he doesn't like it?
I think Alexander like referred to it whenever he was like straight called up, that he's like, yeah, I've heard every joke in the book, where it sounded like he was kind of sour about it.
Because he really reacted with her like kind of like, I expected it. I actually expected more. He said he actually caught the Seinfeld theme when he walked the guy.
I don't know if it's the second question.
Not second, but I said second or third. But like you talk about the performance he had today. You talk about the offense. And then you at least throw one in right after that about quite a setting with New York and the home of Seinfeld. And was it what you expected? I just think it would have been earlier.
I thought she was fine. Did you hear Blum's call of the Correa home run? What did he say? It might be in the system, AJ. I heard Paul play it earlier. He might have it in there if you can find it. It was. We'll get back to it in a minute. Texture says Nolan just stuck his finger in pickle brine. He did. Nolan Ryan was a workhorse, man. Texture, the good has to be Correa coming back. The best ugly on that weekend series, the Yankees, was the Yankees. Man, they are ugly 2 of the 3 games. It's going to be hard for Boone to keep his job, I think.
I think, yeah, and I have friends that are Yankee fans.
They don't know ball.
No, these are other friends, Jeremy. They're from New York. They've been clamoring for this even last year making the World Series. They were hard on him, but it's hard not to. I mean, you see now some of the reports coming out about, and I think John Boy's the latest to jump on the train of saying he's talked to umpteenth numbers of guys in the Yankees farm system that said they don't work on situational baseball. They don't work on base running. From a coaching perspective, it's one thing, you know, when we say how much can a coach really affect a game from game to game, from a manager. But from a managing perspective, the blunders that they're making all over the field are embarrassing, and that's going to be first and foremost put on the coaching staff.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be a rough go of it there for him. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey guys, good afternoon. Going to the game tonight. I'm gonna cheer for Alex at his first at bat, and then you know if it's a big situation, booing the rest of the game. So I'm, you know, he did what the business says to do. So he got his $40 million this year. Hey, some good this weekend. Josh Hader, he went more than one on Friday night. Is that right, Brandon?
Yeah, yes. He did.
Yes, it is.
Why is that funny to you?
So that's some good.
Because he just went right to you.
Right there, man.
He went straight to the source.
Okay. What's that?
Yeah, he went. Blanker's a little offended that you said my name and not his.
Or not both of us.
Blankers knows basketball. You know baseball. Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
Blanker's and Brian knows good. Football.
And wrestling.
And Brian, see? It's a trifecta.
All right, Chris.
Hey, another good.
Yeah.
Abreu yesterday, right? He came in with the bases loaded. And got us out of that big jam.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that the Astros did good this weekend. 2 out of 3 is also very good for the weekend. So I think blue ball could be this year's Hunter Brown, right? Pitcher coming out of the bullpen when he's healthy. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Appreciate it, Chris. Have fun at the game. Boo Bregman. Make sure you're booing him. I don't know if blue ball has the is as decorated as Hunter Brown. Also, don't know if there's as much of a need. Like, it's hard for me to envision. If everybody stays healthy, it's hard for me to envision blue ball having a role in the big league roster the rest of the year.
Agreed, because we just got done talking about Alexander, and if Alexander's been dealing, I think the best thing for blue ball is the fact that he got his confidence back by going back up to the majors after getting shelled his first go round. And really settling in and giving them a good performance. He pitched well, I think it was yesterday, for the Space Cowboys again. I think he went 6 and didn't give up a run. So maybe he got his confidence back and he gives you another insurance policy. But do I think that he factors into this team the rest of the season, especially because of the guys coming back? I don't.
Ditto. I do think that he's somebody that you might be able to count on next year, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not as a top of the rotation guy. Like, he's not Hunter Brown. AJ Blue Ball is not in the same league as Hunter Brown in terms of the stuff. But can he be a factor in your rotation? Could he be a factor as like the seventh inning guy if you want to convert him there? It might be the way to do it, because I think he might forecast better as a reliever than a starter. I don't hate the whole like multi-inning reliever, yeah. Kind of like what we envisioned that Forrest Whitley could become this year. Maybe that's more of a like blue ball to me is more what you wanted Whitley to be than what Hunter Brown was.
Or what Gusto was envisioned as if all starters were healthy.
See, I think blue ball has better stuff.
But I'm saying you went from Whitley, who they were hoping would be a guy like that. Then when Whitley fizzled out and they got rid of him, then it was like, okay, well, then the next in line could be Gusto if we get healthy, because they kept moving him back and forth from the pen to, and he was going to be a couple inning guy. That maybe now blue ball is the guy for next season, because at the same time, you have a surplus of starting pitching that whether you have a home for them or not, other teams are going to be interested in based on these starts they're giving.
It's going to be interesting what they do with that surplus, because they do. They have a surplus of bottom of the rotation guys, but mm-hmm. they only have like one top of the rotation guy. Like it's Hunter Brown, top of the rotation guy. No one else really top of the rotation. Javier, maybe middle of the rotation, and then a bunch of bottom of the rotation. Maybe Arrigetti's middle of the rotation, and then a bunch of bottom of the rotation guys. It's going to be fascinating. The offseason's going to be nuts, I think, for the Stros. What did you think of Hunter Brown, his performance?
I thought it was okay. I thought he was good. I mean, he was decent. I mean, I don't think it was his best performance, but I have nothing bad to say about what Hunter Brown did overall. When you look at the numbers, you know, the 5 Ks, okay. 1 walk, okay. If anything, you know, again, a 5 1/3, you'd have liked mm-hmm. to have seen him get through 6, but at the same time, I don't have anything bad to say about Hunter Brown.
I thought he was fine. The 6th inning was annoying to me. Like, the leadoff walk, no walks.
Yep.
No leadoff walks. And then you had, like, the little bleeder that got down the right field line, and then that inning unraveled really from there. I hated the 6th inning. I thought Hunter Brown was mostly good. Mm-hmm. The Altuve thing is awesome. Correa's kind of clutch, it seems like. Yep. The Friday game annoyed me because it felt like the previous Friday night game against Boston, where, like, you had the early lead. You had so many opportunities to pad the lead. Couldn't do it. Goes to extras. Lost at Fenway. But you were able to win this one, in large part because, as Chris said, Hader was fantastic. But the Correa had the go-ahead RBI single in the 10th, the Taylor Trammell, the two-run homer. You were talking bad about that man, and then he hit a two-run homer at Yankee Stadium. Got to mention him in
there's
good
the blank
as well.
Foot in mouth.
It was, for sure.
Yep. I've done that twice
well.
To him.
You have.
Yep.
You get him going.
Yep.
You get him going. But that Friday, I mean, the Friday game was annoying me. Until
right.
They finally won.
It's a great call because it's exactly what they went through the Friday previous. And maybe it's the Apple TV jinx because you go back to Boston, and I say that tongue in cheek. The Boston game is very similar, but then you feel like you got the momentum back because you go back and tie that game. And yet another instance of maybe, you know, early in the season, and a lot of times for this Astros team, I feel like they get down by a couple of runs, especially when they were kind of manufacturing runs early in the season. You go, this game's over. Well, they, you know, clawed and scratched, found a way to get back to even. And then just threw up all over with the Brian King thing right immediately after that. And you're like, oh, what a huge letdown.
Yeah, that was, the Saturday game was annoying too. We'll get to the bad in a minute. 713-780-ESPN. Any other goods that we overlooked before we segue out of it?
I think you covered them. I mean, Trammell, I give him credit because of the home run. He was 2-for-9 in the series. I thought Chaz had better at bats. Chaz is only 2-for-6 in the series. But I thought that Chaz had some good at bats.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Like the people, like I've been one, like blast Chaz McCormick, and he has his weaknesses. He's also perfectly fine as a backup center fielder that you only play against left-handed pitching. Like there are a lot of guys who make a lot of money who are the fourth or fifth outfielder that only hit lefties. Like Chaz has a role on this team. If you don't see that, you're a cash. Yep. Cash if you don't see that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's get to the bad. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in a series victory. Loss, whatever. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we get to break or do anything else, I want to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. I've been telling you about them for a long time. I tell you about them from personal experience because we bought our house about a year and a half ago now. And the first thing that we wanted to do when we got the house was we wanted to make some upgrades that we could feel kind of more modernized the house. First thing we did is went to Allstate Siding and Windows and changed the windows, and it made an unbelievable difference immediately in the curb appeal. It modernized the whole front of the house. It made the whole house look like a more custom modern house, and we loved it. But the other things that are more important than that, as much as it's nice to have a good-looking house, is the fact that it's going to do everything that you need in Houston, Texas. Those windows are going to keep you safe and all your content safe, no matter if it's hurricane season or if it's the blazing hot sun of the summer that we're dealing with right now. It's going to keep that cool right inside your house. And then in the wintertime, when we have those occasional cold spells, it's going to keep everything warm inside and keep all the elements outside. They're fantastic. They're the best in the business. They've been in business for about 50 years, and they love taking care of Houstonians like you. That's why they do special deals. Right now, 30% off all the windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. They do front doors too, and other companies offer deals similarly, but this family-owned and operated business with over 50 years of experience are here to help you every step of the way, and it starts by getting a free, no-obligation inspection for them to recommend exactly which products they have and which would be the best suited to fit your house. All you got to do is get in contact with them. And as I always tell you, AllstateSidingAndWindows.com is the best place to start. But get that free estimate by calling right now, 832-204-1936. 832-204-1936. A free estimate will be coming soon, and they'll let you know exactly what they recommend. And in the meantime, check out AllstateSidingAndWindows.com to see all the products and services that they offer.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Cooper Hummel's been DFA'd. Probably to make room for Javier. Now, I wonder what they do with the 26-man roster. Because you can only keep 13 pitchers. So they have to call up a bat. I wonder which bat they're going to call up. They haven't made the announcement yet.
My bet would be the center fielder. The left
Kennedy
fielder.
Corona?
Jacob Melton.
Oh, Melton. My guess is actually going to be Cesar Salazar. So they carry the third catcher. That's going to be my guess.
I think I would just think Melton's been kind of hot back in Sugar Land again.
Yeah.
That they might use him. And
how could you get him in the lineup?
That's a good question.
Yeah, see, I don't think they're going to call him up if he can't play more than twice a week, 2 to 3 times a week. Like,
would you play? I mean, you could play him in center, but then who? Like the
yeah,
question,
you could.
You know, you just talked about Chaz. He has his moments. So, same with Tremel. He's boom or bust, but he had a boom when you needed it most, and he's had some. You know, he stepped up in a couple of big at bats. Do you sit one of those guys to put Jacob Melton in his speed in center field?
Tremel or Melton regular at bats?
Melton.
Okay, I'd go Tremel. I also think you're kind of disrespectful to Tremel a little bit. The whole like, would you say feast or famine?
Boomer bust.
Boomer bust. I mean, 327 on base percentage guy, 99 OPS plus.
He's 2-for-9 in the over the three game against the Yankees, but one of them was the big home run they needed at the end of the game.
That's pretty good. 2-for-9.
It's 200, or well, it's a little over 200, depending on what happens. You know, the last at bat.
If he gets a hit, it's 300.
Yeah. If he doesn't, it's 200.
I mean, it's a big difference. That last at bat.
Yeah, it's $100. I mean, 100 point swing there, but.
That last at bat's significant.
He has a lot of Jake facial expressions and everything that he's lost at the plate a lot.
I don't see that, man. Okay. I don't. I think that good pitching gets him. I think he has trouble hitting velo, which is like, okay. Like, I would give him nothing but velo. I think anything above 95 he has trouble with, mm-hmm. which I would never throw him breaking stuff. But he abuses mistakes. Like, like that pitch that he homered was a hanging breaker right down the middle. Like, he'll abuse a mistake. I think you can get him, and I think he's got a lot of swing and miss, especially with velo, good pitching. But, no, I mean, you get him in the bottom of the order. I like some thump there. I prefer Tremel over Melton currently. I'll be curious to see who this final spot would be as Hummel gets DFA'd. All right, good, bad, ugly, 713-780-ESPN. Texture says bad, Walker in the fourth spot. I mean, Walker was pretty good yesterday.
Oh, three hits yesterday. Three pretty for good four yesterday. And, you know, you go back and remember the fact that the series prior, he had a home run in two games. The numbers don't state he was 3-for-12, but I believe that he's starting to heat up. I think he's getting to be more of who they wanted when they went and got him. I don't have a problem with Christian Walker right now in the top part of that lineup.
Israel says you have to count the walk casuals. Tremel didn't have a walk in that series.
Good call, Israel.
Israel, yeah, the nice. Casual.
You know more than us.
He didn't have a walk there. I actually looked that up, though. Whenever Blanker said 2-for-9, I was like, I'm going to get him with a walk. And I looked it up real quick, and there wasn't a walk there. But you and I were on the same page there, Israel. He just didn't have a walk in New York. Texter says conversation needs to be had about Hader in big situation. To go back to his Milwaukee day scares me. I think a lot of it's the nature of the position. Like, it's going to be a little scary. He scares me in those situations as well. But he was really good on Friday. I mean, two innings, pitched really good. Got a little bit, like, he was dominant in the ninth, was a little shaky in the tenth, but his pitch count was also as much as he's thrown in a game all year.
Most pitches he's thrown all season. And I think maybe even as an Astro, I thought they were close. But yeah, I mean, I think he had a 7-pitch or 8-pitch or 9, something. It was under 10 pitches at the ninth. And they bring him back out, and he had some traffic, and you know he was pitching around the zone a little bit, and all of a sudden, before you know it, he's in the 30s, and that's scary. But the fact that he's willing to give you two innings, he's been huge doing that all season for them.
Yeah, I was happy with his performance on Friday.
That's like the caller said about Abreu. Look, Abreu wasn't great yesterday, but he's toughing it out because he basically got all heated up and warmed up, ready to go. He got hot 3 straight days. His velocity was down about 4 or 5 miles an hour early in that game yesterday, but he toughed it out for you.
See, I think his velo was down because he was trying to throw a strike. He, like, came in bases loaded situation with one out, and he started off, like, what, 102, 030, something like that?
He couldn't find the zone early.
And I think that he was letting off his velo, trying to baby it into the zone, which annoyed me because he was at 94 right down the middle. Got lucky to get away with it. But then all of a sudden, like, he got into a little bit more of a comfortable situation, and he's dotting 98, 99 to Bellinger.
He did. The velocity went way up at the end. I think the other thing was he didn't have the control location-wise of his slider like he has. And so that's such a big pitch for him. That when you're struggling there, and like you said, because you're in a tight jam, there's no room to put anybody, and you got to be more fine-tuned on everything, that he was kind of tight on everything.
Yeah, I thought he was. But, I mean, inning in two-thirds, no runs, no hits, just the one base winner with the walk. I mean, the line score was a good outing. I didn't love what I saw early, but got away with it. He got away with it in that seventh inning, and I thought he was really good in the eighth. All right, what bad do you have from the Astros in the Bronx?
I mean, I had the King home run on Friday. I just a 3-1 fastball right down the center of the plate in a situation like that. I don't want to nitpick Brian King too much, but that was a tough one because of the fact that it was a 3-1 fastball right down Main Street.
That's a good reason to nitpick him.
Yeah, so he's on my bad.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Fromber's curveball. Oh, MIA.
Yeah. Same, yeah.
Didn't make the trip.
Yep.
It was nowhere to be found, which is frustrating because that's his best pitch.
Because it's amazing – that he was able to do what he was able to do without the curveball, because he has so much movement on all the different versions of his fastball that he can still be competitive. But it's such a different – I mean, it is night and day when he doesn't have his curveball.
Yeah, that was sad to see him not have his – hopefully he finds that curveball, because that's kind of important for Fromber. Kinda, I did think that he battled without it, but the Fromber curveball is nowhere to be found. What else?
I mean, not too much other than that. You know, that some of the guys that you're having in the lineup that didn't have good weekends. We talk about the fact that, you know, if Paredes came back, where would you play him? It's really tough for me, the fact that, you know, Caratini is a guy that just has done so much, and in short doses, he's been good for you even still. But then he had a really tough series in Yankee Stadium, and he was hitless in five. But he only had five plate appearances.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with the depth. Yep. I mean, it's a good problem to have because you can get him off the bench, stuff like that.
Pena, too, is 1-for-13.
The one hit
was the home run.
He was 1-for-13?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Wow. Hopefully he gets hot at home.
And Sanchez was 2-for-11, but you're using him maybe a little bit more than I thought they would use him when they got him.
Yeah, they started him against Fried yesterday, against the lefty, which I thought he would never start against lefties, mm-hmm. but he had good BVP against Fried, so they went with the BVP, and the BVP did nada yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's not in the lineup today against Crochet, for what it's worth. Correa batting second, which I think is a spot against lefties because Sanchez not in the lineup. But, yeah, so Sanchez not starting today against
Pena,
the lefties.
Correa, Altuve,
Pena, Walker. Correa, Altuve, Walker, Yiner, Urias, Dubon, McCormick, Smith. Against Crochet, okay. The Astros. Now, I haven't seen the. I don't think Cora's posted his lineup yet. He's probably looking to see which hitters have tells on Christian Javier.
Yeah, how many signs? I mean, how many grips he can see, and how many different ways he can. And everybody's doing it. I don't know if you caught any of Sunday Night Baseball last night.
Doing it in Little League Baseball, I love it.
Yeah, but well, they also did it last night in Sunday Night Baseball, and Marmol, the Cardinals manager,
mm-hmm.
he was. Really, really hot, and it was like they stopped the game and for a little bit, and everybody was screaming at each other. And then I think it was Buster got the interview with him, and he's like, "Hey, you had a little episode. What was going on with that?" He goes, "We all know the Red Sox like to, you know, do what they do. It's part of baseball. We understand it, but their coaches dang well better stay in their coaches' box if they're trying to see what our pitchers are doing."
I agree with that. They should probably enforce that. Like, yeah. I know it's legal. I know you can do that. But, hey, how about you stand in the coach's box? Like, that would be legal as well.
You can't do anything about a runner on second base that can see what grip you're getting inside your glove based on where you come set. But for sure, the coach.
You can dot them.
Yeah, well, you can. But I'm just saying, in terms of there's nothing you can do if you want to complain until you're blue in the face. If you can see inside that guy's glove, you have every right to do whatever you want to do to tell your hitters. The coaches have to stay in that little rectangle that they never stay in.
Do you agree with that in Little League Baseball?
I think in all baseball, especially because when we played Little League, there wasn't signs to the level, and guys weren't supposed to be throwing curveballs the way kids are throwing curveballs these days. But it's all part of the game.
Yeah, there was that big controversy last week.
Oh, yeah. It was Louisiana, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. I think it was Louisiana, Oklahoma.
Down in the boot. Tony Pettashika, my bad. Cindy Trammell on Friday got thrown out of the plate, and then Cam ran through a Pettashika stop sign on Saturday. Pettashika, I don't love him as a third base coach. And then not tacking on runs, especially Saturday. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Hive has some thoughts about the Stros. Correa's homecoming. What do you expect from Javier? We'll get to your thoughts as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, look, we know it is roasting outside. And we know the dog days of summer are upon us, and that's why I want to tell you about a very reliable, trusted air conditioning company that you can lean on if you need anything from just a checkup of the system that you currently have to maybe exploring the fact that your system is getting older or it's broken down in the past, and you might be interested in a new one. Temperature Pro in Houston are the best. They are the best in the business, and I trust them, and you should too. One, it's because they have 20-plus years of experience. Two, they have great ratings, like an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. Three, you can take it from me. I grew up with the owner, John Blitz, back in Wisconsin, and I've known him for my entire life. I trust him. I've talked to him. I've sent him to friends. They've taken care of a lot of my friends when they have AC problems, and they'll take care of you too. And he does business the right way. They sell all the major brands, Train, Carrier, Daikin, Goodman, and Lennox. They offer you fantastic financing, 12 months, no payments, no interest. But you want to make sure that we're dealing with AC. It's so easy for someone to just come into your house, look at your system, look at the unit outside, and say, yeah, you really need this and that and a compressor and all kinds of coils. And before you know it, you're chalking up thousands of dollars in things that you're paying for, and you don't really know if you need it or not. That's why you need someone you can trust, and that's why I recommend Temperature Pro. They are going to absolutely be honest with you. They're going to put your AC needs in the trusted hands of all their professionals, and they're going to make sure that they take care of you like they take care of everybody I've sent their way. John Blitz is the best in the business. Temperature Pro is who I recommend you go see if anything you need with your AC. Go to blitzproservices.com, BLITZProServices.com, or call them. It's an easy to remember number, 281-247-5925. 281-247-5925.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Over under on how many intentional balks tonight for the Astros. Hector Neris, if he's on the mound, he'll do it at least once.
Let's drop it.
Yeah. Drop Hector Neris screwed that up, by the way. Low key, doesn't really matter. But he did the whole, like, he had a, whoa! Whoops. He had the pitch clock violation and then balked.
He did. That's like, right.
He didn't know how to, he didn't balk in the right amount of time. Not that it mattered, but it was funny.
Who pitch clock violation the walk to Judge? Was it Fromber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I thought they called it on Judge originally, because he, like, pointed at Judge first, he and I was did. Like, oh, it's strike three! And then it's like, no, you go to first. Like, you stupid umpire, you confused me. You dinked me, Blue!
Yeah, he, because Fromber does, I mean, he tries to work that clock, and he normally gets going with about two left on it.
I wonder if he just didn't want to pitch to him.
It's possible.
I mean, it's Judge. Yeah. You have Bellinger on deck, a lefty.
His average against the Astros in his career is one of the worst.
They know how to pitch to him.
Yeah.
They know how to pitch to him. Fromber looks tired. I don't know if he looks tired, but maybe it's something so. You monitor. I think it was more the curveball. Yeah, I don't think he looked fatigued.
No, he's had a couple of I don't even want to say stinkers. He's had a couple of less than starts, but I don't think it's anything where we were thinking about some of the things when we look at other pitchers and say, oh, the velo's way down, or there's something noticeably wrong. Or who were we talking about right before the break that looked so – it wasn't Lance. It was someone else that looked gassed.
I mean, Hunter Brown looked gassed.
Hunter. It was Hunter Brown. Yeah, it was leading into the All-Star break, it was Hunter Brown, where we could see velo was significantly down, and he just didn't look like himself. I didn't feel that way about Fromber. It was easy to identify. It was just one pitch that he just – you have one of those days where you can't control your breaking stuff.
Killer Bees, when did it become illegal to stand on second and tell your team when you go back in the dugout what the signs are? It's not illegal. It's just some people think it's a little bush league. I'm okay with it for what it's worth. I have fun with it. I like to mock it and all that stuff. But if I'm pitching and somebody was doing that to me, I would hit somebody 100%.
I mean, it's 100% I would. I mean, if you know, good on them if they can pick it up. Bad on you if your signals aren't creative enough to do what you need to do, and then you go from there. If you want to hit them, then so be it.
If somebody was picking up your signs from second, yeah, and you're on the mound, would you dot somebody in your heyday?
No.
Which was like 20 minutes ago, your heyday.
No. My first thing would be I'd be mad at myself, because from release, it's one thing to have the same release point on every pitch you throw. It's another thing to say that how you come set and where the ball is in your glove, if it's that visible, you know, then it's on you to make the adjustment that you have to make.
Texter, disagree about Fromber. He's tossed more than any Astros pitcher in the last several seasons with only a minor stint on the IL. I think you would notice fatigue more like the velo and stuff, though. Like, his velo's fine. Everything's fine. He just didn't have command of his curveball. Like, he had zero feel for it. Mm-hmm. I don't notice fatigue with Fromber, and Fromber's always been a guy who goes 200 innings a year, just about.
He reached back on a couple pitches late in the start and found 90, 96, 97 plus. I want to say 98. But, I mean, he found it when he needed it to where he had the arm strength. I wasn't concerned about his fastball.
Yeah, no, but if you do have the luxury of being able to, you know, maybe six-man, thing like that, I wouldn't hate that. I like that throughout the year. But I don't notice fatigue with yeah, Fromber. I just don't see it.
We were talking about, like, when you bring Hunter Brown back after the break and trying to buy him a little extra time. Right now, you can't buy a lot of time because every game is so hyper-important as it relates to the standings, not just with the Mariners, but like you brought up the other day, you're looking at the fact that you're still within reach of one of those top two seeds in the American League. And so just from who's pitching to how you set up, you know, your rotation and how many pitchers you're going to have, those are all big time questions right now, and something that you got to be hyper-focused on because you don't have a cushion in the lead anymore.
Yeah, I disagree with you a bit. Okay. I really do. Because, yes, you're right about, like, the division lead. You're only a half game up on Seattle. You're very much in the race for the best record in the American League. Thank you, Dodgers. Although they blew that game yesterday. 2.5 back from Toronto. You're a game and a half back from Detroit. Top two finish with byes from the don't have to play in the wild card round. But you do have a cushion of 4.5 on Cleveland. So, like, you shouldn't enter the playoffs banged up and everybody's limping in and everybody's arms falling off whenever you do have the cushion. Obviously, it's important, the top two, but you shouldn't go all in for one of those top two spots whenever you do have a decent lead on the postseason.
I hear you, but we know what happened last year. You got two and barbecued by the Tigers, and you want to avoid that at all costs. If Fromber looked the way Hunter looked going into the All-Star break, it's a different conversation, 100%.
Yeah.
Because then I agree with you. But if I don't think that there's anything structurally or fatigue-wise wrong with him, then I know he's one of my two best pitchers. I got to have him as much as I can. Now, if you want to take a little bit off on the back end and say he's not going to go as deep into games, and hopefully with this offense now with a little bit more help in the lineup, that you can get a cushion to where you can take him out earlier to save some innings on him, I'm good.
Yeah. Look, mine's more of a general thought, not necessarily a Fromber thought. I don't want to run this team ragged.
I get it.
In the regular season, whenever you have a comfortable lead in the postseason. Texture, Cooper Hummel's off the team. He didn't even like spinach artichoke dip. Good thing he got that Nick Kurtz bat. And did you hear he was signing autographs? Or he was not signing autographs. He was asking for autographs on Old Timers Day. He was going up to Mariano Rivera asking for his autograph.
Yeah.
Come on, Cooper Hummel. You're a big leaguer. You're a big leaguer asking dudes for their autograph. It looks weak.
I don't think so at all.
So weak.
There are so many big leaguers that are like card collectors too.
And all of them are
weak.
And
all those things. And they all within the, I forget who I heard was saying that within the fraternity, like it's a given that players sign for other players. Like the retired guys will always sign for the guys if they're wearing a major league uniform. But there's a lot of guys that do it.
If I were a big leaguer, there's zero chance I'm asking for another grown man's autograph. I don't even do it now. Much
so
less if
for
I'm a
jerseys,
big leaguer.
Like for football, like
if jerseys. Somebody asked me to trade jerseys, I would. But I would never, ever be the first person to ask. Ever. Ever. I think it's
See,
soft.
There's a
Can
difference
I have your jersey,
to,
bro? Like, it's so weak.
Like, some of my buddies that have played, like, for instance, have played with, like, a Mike Trout. They if you're teammates with a guy, it's one thing, right? Because at a certain point, you want to say, I played with Mike Trout, and so I got a ball or I got a jersey or, you know, things like that.
You need that to prove that you played with Mike Trout?
It's not a prove, Jeremy. It's something, it's like a memento to take away from the fact that you played with one of the better players in the game. And everybody's different in the way they look at it. You obviously have a different opinion on it. But at the same time, if it's an opponent that I'm still playing against, I'm not crossing over to the field and asking a guy that I'm competing against to sign something for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Hummel was doing. Hummel was doing that. Hummel was out there asking the legends for their autographs.
But the legends are different.
He was asking for a rookie's bat.
What?
He Nick Kurtz's bat. Remember?
We haven't confirmed whether
I think it's very.
I disagree with you.
So this guy who's going out to the Old Timers game asking for autographs didn't ask for Nick Kurtz's bat? It's very obvious to me, putting two and two together, that the same guy who's asking for autographs with the Old Timers is very clearly the guy asking Nick Kurtz for the bat. The rookie isn't going to be. The rookie isn't going to hand Cooper Hummel the bat and be like, "I got you, bro." You kidding? No way.
He didn't have to pitch to him. He did, and the fact that Nick Kurtz could be just the guy that said, you know, in appreciation, whether, you know, he did it half joking or not, but to say thanks in that way, if that's what he chose to do. I was looking all over to try and verify one way or the other. And basically, if I'm wrong, reading it the wrong way, I would say it. And I think it was NBC Sports Bay Area were the ones that they actually offered up that Kurtz sent the bat to him.
Show me.
I did that day when we were in the break.
You didn't.
I did. I turned it right there and said, NBC Bay Area said this.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay.
Don't remember that at all. I think it's very clear that the guy that's asking Old Timers for autographs is asking Nick Kurtz for the bat. I have never in my entire life of following baseball have heard about a guy hitting a home run on a guy that threw him a pitch and then delivering a bat to the clubhouse. I have never, ever in my entire life heard of that. What do you think about players asking players for autographs? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.